So this is Dr. Michelle Gunderson, and you are at Practical Applications, getting results with your words. This is call number three. And in call number two, if you were here last time or if you watched the video, we began last time in Shavasana. We did quite a training last time on why we want to do that. With my own high-level students, I have you guys starting every single day with Shavasana. It's just lying on the floor and breathing. Just today, the only thing I want to say about that is that the words that land in people don't come from words, 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 words. They come from a deeper place inside us. They come out of the silence. So when we begin each day in that silence, we can access something that is far, far deeper. I'm just going to mute all the lines just so that we don't have any background noise. And then during the call, if and when you want to unmute yourself, you go ahead. All right, so begin in a place where you are lying down, if you can. If you're in a place, if you're driving, please pull over. If you're not in a place where you can lie down, you can do a seated meditation during this time. Try to carve out a space for yourself so that you are not bumping into things. So no desks and tables and chairs and books in the way. The whole practice is a metaphor. If you're scrunching yourself in here, too busy, too much, that's probably what's happening to you in your business and your life as well. So lying on your back, place a blanket, a folded blanket or pillow beneath your head and neck, but not beneath the shoulders. When you do so, I know this from profound direct experience, this practice goes deeper so much more quickly. Touching the shoulders, but not beneath them. Have the chin lower than the forehead. So if you put a marble on the forehead, it would roll down toward the chin. And so extend through the back of the neck so that the forehead is lower than the chin. That lets the mind become quiet. Then bend to the knees for a moment. You're lying on your back. And take the flesh of the buttocks and move the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels. Extend out through the low back. Make the low back long. And then slowly slide one heel along the floor, then the other. The legs are a comfortable distance apart. Let the baby toes drop to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. Just let go. If you ever find yourself uncomfortable, if the low back is uncomfortable, make sure you're comfortable. You can place a bolster or a rolled blanket beneath the thighs. You could place your legs up on a chair or a couch so the calves rest on a couch or a chair. So lifting the legs will make the low back comfortable. So make sure that you're comfortable. Be at ease. Then place the fingertips pointed toward the ceiling for a moment. Dig the shoulders in, not the shoulders, dig the elbows into the earth, and let the arms drop then by the sides. Arms are straight. They're in a low V, palms up position with respect to the body. So the arms are about 30 degrees away from the body. Softly close the eyes. Make any last adjustments you need to be comfortable. Then take comfort and find stillness. The mind is so busy, 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 we can't even think to find the words. When we allow the body to be still for a moment, allow that restlessness to subside, use a little bit of will to keep the body just still, just for a few minutes, then the mind will follow suit. Sometimes it takes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter time, but we allow the body to become still so the mind can quieten. Let the whole body release to the earth. Just let go. Let the arms be heavy, legs heavy, chest light. Feel softness at the center of the palms of the hands. And then let this softness travel up the arms, relax the arms, the shoulders, the neck, the throat, the skin of the scalp, skin of the face. Let the face be smooth like butter. Relax all the tiny muscles of the face. Relax the skin at the temples, and then relax the skin from the temples to the outer corners of the eyes, and let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. Eyes are softly closed. Eyes sink back, allowing the mind to become quiet. Imagine that the ears are receding back toward the back brain as well, so that ears and eyes imagine meeting at a point toward the back brain. Let the senses recede. Draw inward. Pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. You're wearing glasses. Make sure they're removed. Some are safe off to the side. Glasses bring us out into the world. When we remove them, we go inward. Take this time for yourself. Scan the body for any tension. Where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Relax the jaw all the way up to the hinge near the ears. Let the tongue rest in the bottom of the mouth. Teeth slightly parted. Lips touching, not touching. Feel the breath. Be the breath. If any thoughts arise, as thoughts will, it's the nature of thought. As soon as you notice, gently without judgment, let that thought go. It's unimportant right now. It just doesn't matter. Let it fade away due to lack of attention because your focus is on the breath, on the sound of my voice and the breath. Watch the breath. One pointed attention, the breath. This practice trains us. We are not those thoughts passing by. They're like clouds in the sky. We're something so much deeper than that. Who's watching the thoughts? In the yoga tradition, we call that the witness consciousness. Something so much bigger than maybe you thought you were moments before. That passing thought's not you. Watch the breath. Watching the breath in silent space for a minute. Just watch the breath. Be curious about the breath with the curiosity of a child. What's this breath like right here, right now? Pay attention. Is it high in the chest or low in the belly? Is it deep or shallow? Is it ragged or smooth? Can you watch without judgment, without needing to change anything? Just watch the breath. This quiet place is a receptive place of the mind, heart, spirit. So in this quiet moment, know that you are worthy beyond measure. Know that you have a profound gift to give on this planet. Know that in this moment, all is well. Feel the gift of the breath. Each breath a gift. The gift of this precious life on planet Earth. Watch the breath. And knowing that soon you will come out of Shavasana, final relaxation pose in yoga. It begins just with the thought that soon you will move. Can you separate out thought and action, not needing to react? Just soon you will move, that's all. Then allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the gentle movement of breath. Bend the knees, slowly roll to the right side, support your head. Softly, softly open the eyes, and keeping your gaze toward the floor, use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. Rejoin our virtual circle, and whenever possible, camera on so that you train yourself to not multitask. Fully present in Shavasana means fully present, and then fully present here means fully present in that sales conversation, fully present from stage, fully present networking, fully present with your words, fully present as you're designing those words to send out online and so on. So welcome. Always great to see you when the cameras pop on. Welcome. I would love to hear from one or two of you, just briefly, 30 seconds, maybe a couple of sentences. Karen's joining us first time. Welcome back from Europe, Karen. So great to see you. You're live.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now you've been talking in the recordings. One aha. Sometimes there's like 100 things, 99 things that we don't like. But there's one thing that we love. Can I train my attention? Train my attention. There's the thing I love. There's the thing I love. There's the thing I love. So it might have been 99 things distracting you that you didn't like about this practice, but there's one thing that was yummy, an aha moment, a boof, a blinding flash of the obvious. Who would like to share? Yeah, Karen.
Hello everyone. I'm so glad I'm here, and I've been listening to the recording, so I feel like I'm been a part of it, but I loved starting with the final resting pose. You know, that was, I always think of Shavasana as the end of the yoga practice, but it really is the beginning of everything else you do after that. So it was beautiful to begin with the final relaxation.
Thanks, Karen. And you know, it's actually in a way what brought me to the yoga. It was the mid 90s, and I had a modern dance teacher, and she was doing some yoga, and she started every dance class with Shavasana. She didn't know very much. I mean, she knew some about it, but she's taken a class. She loved it. I came every day to do Shavasana. It wasn't the handstands that I was doing in her class when I was 5 months pregnant with my daughter, you know, a few years later on. It wasn't the cool, you know, spins that we did and all those things. I came back for Shavasana because it was changing my life. Mm-hmm. So I've practiced sporadically at the beginning of my day since then. And then since 2006, I've missed only a handful of days. Yeah. Every single day begins this way because it changes my day, changes my company, changes my life. Let's hear. So thank you, Karen. Beautiful. Let's hear. And just a reminder to you, I'll probably, you know, if you look at this later, it'll look like I'm not looking at you. I like to look at everybody here. I like to see you. It's so important. So if I look like I'm distracted, I'm actually looking at Karen when I'm looking over here, for instance. All right. I do more formalized calls. I would be looking over here. You think I'm looking at you, but I'm really looking at you down here. All right. One more. Is that Karen? Yes, Karen.
So I could have laid down, but last week I did sitting meditation, and I decided I wanted to play with that again to see if I could find myself in a different place, and I did. And you know, I should have asked for your permission before this, but I went ahead and recorded on my audio on my phone. Your whole, I could listen to a guided meditation. You could guide me over the edge of a cliff. I could listen to your guided meditation every day. So that's why I wanted to record it, so I could truly begin before I awaken my body and start my day. I could truly begin with you first thing in the morning. And this, this was a very cleansing for me today. I wouldn't have said that last week. I think it's because I knew everybody else was laying down and I'm sitting up, but it was a good practice for me to be able to really be able to stay still while seated, because I know I was not like that last week. So it was a little test for myself also.
Beautiful. The practice grows. And every single time it's different. And Maria, see, you said one more second. Sometimes I think, okay, this time my mind was perfect and the birds were singing, you know, so now I've got it. And that's the next week and the mind will be all crazy. It's okay. It's just part of the practice. And then sometimes over time it grows. And so beautiful. And yes, you have my permission to record, no problem. I've had so many people ask me to get this out into the world. I still haven't, right? Just to get that recording out and, you know, offer it. I probably will someday, but I've had many people record me over the years, you know, in multiple situations. And yes, you have my permission, no problem. And of course, you have the recordings of the whole class over there at the Story Freedom Academy. So thank you, Karen. Beautiful. Marie, I saw that hand shoot up. So one more.
Aha. Oh. Just, I wanted to thank Karen for last week saying that you did the Shavasana part sitting up, because I arrived a little late and I thought, rather than take the time to roll out my mat and lie down, I'm just going to jump in and get as much as I can sitting up. And it was a beautiful experience. So thanks for showing the way.
Beautiful. We learn so much from this practice. As I watch my mind beating myself up for sitting instead of lying down, if I'm doing it, how you do anything is how you do everything. I'm doing it over there in my company too. Then I'm beating myself up for, I'm supposed to do it this way. Instead of doing it this way, all this wasted energy. And then how am I supposed to find the words? Because there's all this noise getting in the way. But I practice here. Everyone is lying down, but I'm seated. That's my perfect practice for me today. And in that quiet mind, then I walk in to speak. Then I walk into network. Then I walk into talk to that joint venture partner, et cetera, or my copywriter, whatever it is. And I have a quiet mind to begin. And so much more arises from there. So there are so many more parts to this. We could spend all day on this, but there's so much that I want to teach you today. So I want to move on. And actually, what I want to do first is just a couple of openings, not from the Shavasana practice, but from something that you have gained from our, can you believe it's only been two classes together so far? I mean, we've traveled a long ways already, and there was a pre-call, and there's, the survey, and some of you have seen me before in the summertime, and some of you are on a year-long journey with me and so on. So we've already traveled quite a road. And so rather than me, I'll do a brief, you know, recap of where we've been, but I want to know where you've been. Did anybody go out and try that? A number of you said you're going to try the, you know, networking experiment, right? Karen did it last time. Did anybody else experiment? What are your ahas? What are your openings? What are your wins? Grace, you've just been, I knew it was going to be you. You're like, pick me. Grace, go.
No, I went to a networking function last week, and I just sat and observed. I was observing the connections among and between different people. And it was fascinating for me to sort of sit back and just observe. I hadn't practiced that before. And just thoroughly enjoyed that. Just being present there and watching and listening and hearing and asking questions about other people.
Thank you for that beautiful application of what we just talked about, the quietness in Shavasana. I walk into a networking room, that changes everything. It changes everything, because instead of like, how do I get my message across? Who am I talking to? Blah. Who wants to listen to that? Shavasana directly translated into walking into the room. And all of a sudden the room looks different than it did before. You'll see things you haven't seen before. Things will light up for you. Again, one of my students taught me this, that we are bombarded with 11 million bits of information per second. I looked it up afterwards. I'm like, really? My daughter in neuroscience probably knows about that. But when we pay attention to 40 of them, we can construct a very different life. I choose this 40 or I choose this 40. What am I seeing? Beautiful. Thank you, Grace. Let's hear one more opening. What's happened for you as a result of some of the work we've been doing? You've been playing, networking, you've been listening to the calls. You, it could be right back from three keys to finding words that are create influence, right? That's not quite the right title. I can't even remember my own title, but something close to that. Might be something from that about how to find your next high-ticket client. It might be about, you know, how not to pass out your business card. It might be about starting close in and moving from far away. I mean, we've been to so many places together. What's opening for you now? Yeah, Mary Kay.
Well, I just recorded, it's not quite with the VA yet, but I just changed the free offer on my website to, and it includes a recorded meditation with your animal.
Oh.
So this is all, this is all synchronizes here.
Mary Kay, I love it. And that from that question that you asked in one of the calls, right? About, well, how do I begin how do I begin my talk? And I could begin it meditating with my animal. And now you've taken that, turned it into a free gift. How fantastic. And all of these different places where we use our words are related. When we get it over here, there's a quick cascade of understanding how it works in different arenas. So I think it was when we were working on, so thank you, Mary Kay. Absolutely beautiful. Yes. And what if it could just be easy? It doesn't have to be so hard, right? So I learn it really, really well over here. That's why we spend the time on the networking. And as it, and then it just moves so much more quickly, right? It moves so much more quickly. All right, good. Yeah, Karen, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for kind of reframing my feeling around networking, because networking was always a word that brought up like not really yummy feelings.
Who else feels like, have you ever felt like that before? Networking is like not exactly yummy.
It's just not something I've ever had to do or did. And I hear and see, you know, it's just like, I don't want to do that. But the way you described it really as, you know, it's about a relationship. It's about being compassionate and empathetic and ask and finding out what they need. And that I do when I teach all the time. How can I help you is high on my list. So I'm like, wait, that's networking. So you just kind of flipped it in my brain. And now I just, networking can feel yummy. Like, wow. Who would have guessed?
Awesome. Thank you, Karen. Beautiful. That's a, you know, Thomas Tadlock and my Uncle Paul teach training from last time, right? I felt the same way at the university when I used to live there. People call it schmoozing. You know, you're supposed to cozy up to the important people and say important things. And I'm like, get me out of here. I don't want to do it there. I don't want to do it here. But when we flip that switch, it actually becomes... If you're here, if you're listening to my words, you are a heart-centered human being with a gift to give on this planet. I know that about you. And you get to come from that place when you network. And then when you learn those skills over there, you can learn what to say out there in the world. So thank you, Karen. Beautiful. Yes, yes, and yes. All right. A couple of announcements to make. And Karen, one of these will surprise you because I was going to like talk to you about it beforehand. So, because I got another extra call. So I hope you don't mind.
Yes, you're done.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to give some more. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Bring it.
I had a note right behind my couch. Important things to do. Contact Karen this morning. And then so much that I wanted to share with you this morning. I was up late and then up early and making notes and taught this for 25 years, but in this form, you know, it's just the second time I've taught this course in this way, and there's whole new material here. So let me find my page where I've got my, sorry, give me a second here, where I've got my announcements. Where did I get my announcements page? Networking personalities, is there, oh, I didn't put them in the right order. In response to story, handout, here it is. Right, announcements. So I have two, Karen knows about one of them. I have two bonus calls for you, two bonus calls. And one of them I did talk to Karen about, so made sure you didn't have something else going on. At the end of this series, I've added another call. So January 22nd, sixth bonus call. I just wanted to make sure, and thank you, Karen, for that. I saw you clapping. So I just wanted to make sure that I had time to address all your questions. I've been doing so much training There hasn't been a lot of opening for questions yet, but I just want to make sure there's space for questions. There's some more places where we use our words that I know I'm going to need the space to help you with. So January 22nd, you can add that to your calendars. And then the other surprise call, and my own people will be surprised about this too, because my people know that I have an in-house call this Thursday, December 20th at 12:30 p.m. Mountain Time. You got to translate to your own time zone. I know that's 11:30 Pacific, for example. I don't know what that is in your time zone. Sergio, I know that it's not even Thursday. It's Friday for you, right? But 12:30 Mountain Time, translate to your own time zone. And it was really intended as just in-house for my people because it's for those who are coming to my Mexico retreat, which is called Embodied Words. What's the subtitle of my embodied words? Be heard by those you're meant to serve. And so I've never done a call like this for my people before. And it's like, what are the three most important things, the three keys that I teach over in Mexico? It's related to this material, but it's not the same as we spend an entire week in Mexico. And so it's really designed, I'm not advertising it anywhere. It's designed in-house for my people. But as I was talking to a couple of you from Kieran's group privately this week, or last week, it was like, oh, this actually could be useful to you because it overlaps with, but it's not the same as the material for practical applications. So it's designed for in-house. I'm going to have to redesign it a little bit for a larger group. And what those three keys are, can I tell you a secret? I don't know what they are yet, right? Because let's see, who's been in Mexico? Yvonne, is this going to be your fifth time in Mexico? Marie, you've been there multiple times. Cindy, you've been there, right? So, Marie, I don't know, after your first Mexico, you said, like, I hope you don't mind, I've quoted you lots on this, like you were in the bliss bubble for 6 weeks afterwards, right? And so what would you name as the three most important things? What created that? Like, everything you touched turned to gold. Yvonne, your fifth time there, like, coming up, your fifth time there, what would you say the most important things? I don't even know. But I'm going to go through and try to see, well, what will move the needle the most when I choose pieces from what I teach in Mexico? And then I thought, I'm teaching it anyway. You guys should be invited too. So that's for everyone. If you're hearing my voice this Thursday, 12:30 Mountain Time, some of the key teachings from Mexico. And again, there's going to be a bit of a dual purpose. It has one purpose for my people, a different purpose if you are in Kieran's group. But I'm there anyway, so I'd like to invite you in. So, and Kieran, I did talk to one of your people. I don't think you have anything scheduled at that time, because that'd be a bad invite, okay? But I checked with a couple of your people. They didn't have anything on their calendar, so. Okay, good. Fun. All right. I just want to do any questions, anything burning questions without which we can't go forward. Yeah, Yvonne.
All I want to say about Mexico is your words matter.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be one of my key points. It's definitely one of the things that lands for Mexico, right? I don't know if it's that, or is, and Cindy, you're not, yeah, so how do you find that deep, deep place of it? And I'll teach you everything I can in that short time of some of the keys, you know, some of the keys to it. And I want to do that because I want to think myself, like if I had to boil it down, I want to do that for my own mind. So that's why I'm really teaching it for me, right? I'm teaching it for all of you. So, and what I'll do too is, if you can't be there live, because I know it's short notice, we'll make sure to, if Vaughn, will you text me, make sure I do that. Remind me to make sure that Emily or Amy puts that in the forum for me. Thanks for having my back for that, Yvonne. Thank you. All right. So just anything else burning to be said, without which we cannot move forward. All right. So just a couple of reviews, a couple of points of review, because they give us a framework for how we think about words. And first, and now I remember what I called it, Four Principles of Persuasion. Somebody reminded me last, was that you, Karen? What did I even call it? You don't even always have to have a name to start teaching, to start doing your work. You don't have to get it perfect. I work with words, I don't get it perfect, right? Four Principles of Persuasion. That's that moment of, why did Dana cross the room? And what are they? Somebody tell me real quick. If you hear it from somebody else's voice, you'll get it better. Do y'all remember? Yeah, Karen, thanks.
Relationship is, yep, first.
Yeah.
Empathy, yep. Word skills, and genre.
Yes, exactly. Why did Dana cross the room? My daughter, when she didn't want to, because we have a relationship. We get to build that very quickly with people if we don't already have that. Empathy for the moment. It's not just our overall relationship. It's in that moment. I know how she feels. So we got to ask a lot of questions when we don't know somebody yet. We have to really, that's why it's a survey to you. I want to know more about you. The more I can know about you, the more I can persuade. And sometimes we're persuading all the time at the university. I was persuading that this idea will matter to you. I was persuading them that, no, you're not going to end up with a D and fail this course and others. You can do this. We're always persuading. For teachers, and I know each of you is a teacher to the core of you, we're always persuading, right? So relationship, empathy, word skill. I didn't give her a three-page dissertation about it. I used very simple and direct words. She was tired, didn't want to move. So sometimes less is more. But what's the, knowing about words? And people usually think that's the whole of it. It's not. It's like one piece of it. And then the fourth part, genre. What's the kind of speaking situation I'm in? I wasn't speaking from the pulpit. I wasn't speaking from stage. It was a one-on-one interaction. Very different. If I start to be speechifying, it's not going to work. So I knew the context. I knew the form of the word situation we were in, genre. All right. So those are the four principles of persuasion. Then I've asked you, I'm calling it now the start close in principle. It might not always have that name. Maybe Karen will help me name it later on. Right? Start close in. Maybe you guys will help me name it. Students have named my things for me sometimes. Start close in principle. What do I mean by that? Why are we, what does it mean to start close in, and why are we doing it? I'm going to find your words. Yeah, go ahead, Marie. I saw you too, Sherry. I'll probably unsaw you, Cindy. Thank you, Marie.
Well, my understanding is you start with close in because that's where you have the relationships already. So start with the people you know, because there could be more ideal clients there than you realize.
Ah, yeah, and I haven't even mentioned that part of it, but Marie's been on a longer journey, so she knows that piece of it, right? So the only piece that I've got to you, I think, here so far is start close in, like with networking. Start with a person that you can see. Start one-on-one. Start close into you. Marie's adding another layer to it. That's great, right? That person, your first ideal client for that next venture that you have is probably right in front of you and you don't even see them. Some of you have been there and watched that happen in other trainings. It's pretty funny. We can't even see them. They're right here. So start close in with skills like networking and then move further away. So we start with networking and then we're in a sales conversation, and then we're like one-on-one, and then we're speaking to an audience, one on many, but we can still see them. Then maybe we do it virtually, but like I am with you, this is still closer in because I'm seeing you, right? And then I move to a talk, but I can't see the people because I can see if you're all listening or if you're falling asleep or if you're right. So I can adjust what I'm doing better. I can find the words more easily close in. Then I move to, online maybe, but I can't see people. And then I move to writing copy where I, something further and further away. And I always try to make far away mimic what I'm doing close in. Again, that's why we start with that, start with the networking. And I think that, again, I'm going to mute your line, Marie. I think that was you. So if you always just stay muted and then, but I'm not trying to stop you from speaking. Go ahead and unmute at any time just so we've got a nice clear line so everybody can hear. So thank you. Yes. Start close in and then move to far away. So that has us, let me see. Do I want ahas here now? No. Because I want to get to some new materials today. I got so much to share with you. So then that leads, it's really important to learn how to network. Because if I am right, if I've got my ideal client right in front of me, and I can't find the words to say it, how am I going to do it when I don't even know who they are and I'm talking to a whole bunch of people at once, right? So really important skill to master and have fun with, like Karen described to us, Karen R. described to us, right? Now that can actually be fun. Now I can bring my whole self to that. And that will have a whole difference for when I'm creating the words for my website, when I'm creating an email campaign or I'm doing a video or whatever it is, right? And that leads us to, I can't do everything in 2 minutes again, but I can remind you of it. And I'm so proud of this. Have you all seen this handout yet? Right? It's up in your forum. And Lord bless Emily. Some of you know her well. Yvonne, I know yours. You know her especially well. Emily, my assistant, created this for us. Networking, 10 person networking personalities to avoid, and 10 and 7 networking personalities to emulate. And they're really fun. Yes, I know these are stock characters. They verge on stereotypes. I get it. But what I want, I'm doing that on purpose because I want you to be able to recognize it. Like there's Debbie Downer. You see her, it's like, oh, you know, everything's bad. And we're never being all of one of these people, but sometimes we can catch ourselves when we remember these stock characters, all right? How are you today? Well, man, everything has gone wrong. And like first my dog is sick this morning, and then I brought her to the, who's been that person or been in that conversation with a Debbie Downer before? Been that person? I've both been that person, right? And it's really hard to move from there. It's not that we do happy face on empty gas gauge. I could have added that to it. I didn't add that one, right? But how are you? Fine. Everything's fine. It's kind of the opposite mirror image of Debbie Downer. But can I notice that networking personality and make a switch? The adage, so you can go and grab that, print it off. I print it off for myself, four on each page so I can see them all at once, right? And be playful with this, have fun with it. And if you notice yourself being one of these, it's okay. Just like let it go. Like you let those thoughts go during Shavasana. It's like, look, I'm being that. Oh, well, right? And then networking personalities to emulate, like miss service on any topic, right? Remember Thomas Tadlock. I helped somebody find a computer engineer when it's not my area, but I'm just there in service. I just help people. It feels better anyway, all right? So you can go and have fun with this. The one piece that I wanted to add about it is how does this connect with our four principles of persuasion? I promised that, but I didn't have time to go through all that last time. So let me give you an example. The 10 networking personalities to avoid, they are breaking one or all of the principles of persuasion, relationship, empathy, word, skill, and genre. Let me give you an example. I could start with any of them. I kind of like the picture of Mrs. Know-It-All right at the moment. See at the bottom there? Mrs. Know-It-All, right? So Mrs. Know-It-All, well, I'm so important and I know everything, right? The university really trains us in a way to do that, so it's really hard to cut through. You can't teach anything then, right? Because you feel like you're supposed to know, right? It usually comes from feeling insecure that I really don't know, so I'm going to pop myself up, right? So Mrs. Know-It-All and I know everything and blah, 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 and here's the thing, and right? Sometimes she's related to Miss Spirit. It's like, I'm just going to tell you everything, blah, blah, blah. I may be skirting on doing that right now if I don't let you guys like talk and hear from you and hear your questions, right? So that's okay, right? Play with these things. But Mrs. Know-It-All, there's no relationship there. Hopefully I'm not being that because I'm watching you. I'm seeing right now, even if you're not speaking, I'm watching. Are you getting this? I'm asking you, and what are your ahas? And I want to know, and what are your questions, right? So with Mrs. Know-It-All, there's no relationship. There's no empathy because it's all about her. She doesn't care about that other person. There's no word skill because she's just like spewing. She's related to probably Mrs. Spewitt, right? And the genre, she doesn't know which speaking situation she's in if she's networking, for instance, right? Let me give another example. Miss Desperate to Make a Sale. No relationship. Like, I need to sell to you no matter what. You might not even be my ideal client, but I won't even stop and see because, like, I just need to sell stuff. No relationship, no empathy, no word skill because I'm just, again, often related to Miss Spewitt. And desperate to make a sale, the words are going to come out wonky. If I'm desperate to make a sale, why will the words come out? Let's just zero in. We could do this with each one of those personalities, but let me just ask you this question. Miss Desperate to Make a Sale, why will she not have word skill? Think of what's internal to her and what are her words going to sound like? What do you think? Yeah, Marie.
Well, I'm thinking if this person is desperate to make a sale, she's only going to be concerned about what she has to say to the person, not necessarily interested in what the person is thinking or feeling or receiving. So it's a one-way.
It's a one-way transmission. Yeah, exactly. And she's missing the pause. Again, it's another reason that I ask you to do Shavasana. Train our bodies, ourselves with that pause so that we don't be this desperate to make a sale, for example, right? The genre. Well, which genre am I in? She's probably as though speaking from a pulpit. She doesn't understand she's in a relational networking situation, for instance, right? So all of these, one or all of these principles of persuasion are probably being crossed by these networking personalities. Then when we look at the networking personalities to emulate, it doesn't mean that I'm trying to have you be Mr. Robot and just like, okay, now I'm going to be this. It's not like that. Just play with it. Let it be playful. Notice when you're being one of them, and then can you make a shift? I know I've had a hard day, but I bet somebody else has had a hard day too. Well, I know, you know, yeah, my daughter fell down the stairs the other day, and you know, you've talked about that last week, right? But well, you know, what's been happening with you? Are you okay? Like, stuff happens sometimes. I've shifted the conversation already, so then I'm not Debbie Downer anymore, right? So networking personalities, and this is listening intently, just to take one at random. This is listening intently. Does she have relationship there? Obviously. Empathy, she's listening, so she's going to find out what's going on in the moment. Word skill, of course she'll have better word skill because, and we'll talk about this more, I'll do some more training around this, but she'll have the words because she's listening to who that other person is and will be able to find the words that that person will relate to. But she's got documents, she's got data, she's got something about what that, who that person is. Her words are going to be more skillful automatically, right? And then there's pieces that she's got to add on to that. She can't just listen and just be Mrs. Listening Intently. You can add on many, many layers of word skill, but automatically she's going to have a leg up. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's easily going to find those words much more easily than Mrs. Buett or whatever, right? And genre. If she's networking, she understands that it's about relationship and she's listening intently and she knows she's not trying to speak from the pulpit. She's not trying to do other things other than networking, right? So one thing that you learned about that you can directly apply, that you can take out there into your business and make a difference today. If you just bring one thing home every day, there's going to be way more than one thing. But one thing from connecting these networking personalities to the four principles of persuasion, I want to hear one thing that you learned that you can apply. And if you don't know what to say, that's okay. You can leap in and trust in the moment that it will come to you. Networking is like that too. I don't know what to say, but I'm just going to leap in and trust. So one thing that you learned that will help you out next time you go networking, for instance. One thing you could play with. Karen, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the way you connected the principles of persuasion to those personalities, it kind of gives a little more of a purpose or a why, instead of just saying, don't be like this. Yeah. You know, you can really see it's like, oh, when I'm being like this, I'm not having empathy. You know, then it's like, ooh, well, I want to have empathy. So I really like that you took that minute to connect the two, because it kind of gives me the example and the why, because I do want to be operating in those principles of persuasion and to realize the effect of how I'm being, how specifically that affects the other person.
Yes. Thank you so much. Beautiful. Yes. And again, often we think, you know, here, practical applications, getting results with my words. Sometimes I might think I'm only going to work at the level of word skill, and I'll give you those, some of those pieces for sure. But it's often that's the mistake. We end up so in our heads, we end up trying to get it right. We end up falling into one of these networking personalities, and then we can't find the words. But when we back up to the 8,000 foot view, understand the principles of persuasion, and then come from that place, we don't have to worry so much about this word or that word. We're not going to, you know, do my 30-second elevator pitch and spew it out everywhere all the time. And I'm going to be much more contextual with my words, right? So yeah, beautiful. Thank you. All right. So that's both in review and taking a little further what we've done as well, and in ways that I promised. Start four principles of persuasion, start close in principle, networking personalities to emulate and to avoid, Thomas Tadlock and the Uncle Paul principle is underneath there somewhere, right? Thomas Tadlock just always being of service, my uncle showing up at my door, just wanting to help. It's a family I grew up in. Networking is just like that. All right. And I promised one more piece about networking. And I think what I'm going to do is I'll ask Emily. Yvonne, will you do me the favor of ask Emily as well? I'm meeting with her tonight to make up another handout for you guys. And the handout will be... And I've created so much new stuff for you today. I've taught this before, but I've created so much new stuff. It's a little messy, so forgive me as I'm flipping through pages here. So it's this handout that I want her to make prettier for me, right? So just well, how do I put this into practice then? How do I be that person? What do I actually do when I'm networking? And I'm just going to run through this really quickly, because if you follow what we've done already, you're good, right? Go out and play and practice and see what happens, all right? I want to bring in more flexibility around this than people usually have. But I'm still going to give you a few more details. These aren't lists to memorize. These are things that are that should be self-evident. Like, oh, be like Thomas Tadlock, right? They should be self-evident once you hear them. But most people are not doing this out there in the business world. It's unbelievable, right? Or maybe believable because they just don't know where the come from places. But once you know, it's so much easier, right? So I call them seven. I named this one too. Just named it this morning, actually. Had these before, but named it Seven Principles of Networking Magic. And these things, they will dovetail with the networking personalities, all right? So if I go in, well, what am I actually supposed to do? I'm supposed to be this one, but what am I supposed to do? So seven principles of networking magic. I'll just list them. I'll give you a hand up for next time. Number one, create connection. We've already been talking about this, all right? But create connection. And I want to just say this briefly, but it's such an important point. Connection is influence. Why was I influential with my daughter? We're so connected. I can tell her something that's pretty off the wall, but there's such trust and such connection. She will believe me because I don't throw my words around too. I'm not going to tell her to go jump off a cliff, So connection is influence. Number one, create connection. And I want to tell you a little piece about this too. And again, don't worry. I'll make sure that you have a handout about it. And this isn't a list to memorize. These should be kind of common sense, right? So when I worked with Sandra Yancey, and she often says this, she's got principles of networking that she follows. She's amazing. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that I understand it differently. And so she's got some great training in and around networking. She's, got 500,000 people in her network. She's got to know something about it. She's amazing and brilliant. And, go and learn from her. She's awesome, right? But one of the things she says is that when you first meet somebody, what you should do is edify them. Wow, you are awesome. That field that you're in, that's great. And that's her training. I'm not saying it's wrong, but sometimes what if I don't feel that way in the moment? I don't know how to make that happen, right? Somebody says, I may have fish blow bubbles. I don't know what it is, right? And if I go, wow, that's the most important thing since sliced bread, I'm not being genuine. I'm not being this real. I'm going like, but my better reaction in my books is, wow, I don't know anything about fish blowing bubbles. Will you tell me more about it? Right? Why do fish need to blow bubbles? I'm making all this up, but you get what I'm saying, right? So rather than edify, say create connection. Number two, listen. Listen first before speaking. Listen for opportunities to connect and serve. We already know these things. I'm just putting them in another format for you in case you hear differently, all right? Number three, uplift. I think that's what Sandra was getting at with edify, but uplift. Can you empathize and uplift? Can you allow a positive conversation? I don't mean that we don't. I don't mean happy face on empty gas gauge, nothing like that. Uplift, empathizing and uplifting might be different things in different times. Like this morning, I say to Dana, as she's heading off to her exam, it's like, hey, I know you got this, because she's feeling better about it this morning. Yesterday, she was feeling panicked about her exam. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's hard sometimes, but you'll do the best you can. There's different words for different times, right? Empathize, uplift. Can I teach as teachers, we're naturally uplifters. It can be about the dark side, doesn't it? It's not fake, right? Number four, so one, create connection. Two, listen. Three, uplift. Four, serve. We talked about this so deeply, you already know this, right? It's just in a different format now. Number five, I want to add a piece. Long game. Be in it for the long game. When I said that, the example that I gave is like, Shelly, your name is Shelly. My man's name is Shelly. I wasn't trying to sell her something in the moment. I wasn't being desperate to make a sale. I wasn't being misviewed. I was just in the moment creating connection. And I didn't care what happened in that moment. And then there was an opportunity to serve, and I talked to her about it and I helped her out. Right? So it's a long game. And it's funny. It's connected with principle seven. I'll talk about that in a minute. To go slowly, to go quickly. So be in it for the long run. Think about it with my Uncle Paul's story, those family connections in my family anyway. It's like, those are long run connections. It doesn't have to happen this minute. And the funny thing is, when we're in it for the long run, it can actually happen in this minute, but don't try to make it happen in this minute, all right? So one, create connection. Two, listen. Three, uplift. Four, serve. Five, be in it for the long game. Six, I haven't spoken about that this yet. This is a principle story. I'm not going to go do a deep dive right now, but create the gap, create curiosity. I already taught you this. Remember one person that I know, and he does some fabulous work in the relationship field. And when people say to him, you know, hey, what is it that you do? He says, I teach about love. There's a big gap there. I have no idea whether he's an animal trainer or a relationship coach or a marketing and network marketer or that he sells Amway. Like, I don't know what he does. He's created a gap there. This is one example of the gap, something that where can they enter into the conversation? What can you create curiosity, right? Create a gap, create curiosity. It's a one small point that I've taught days on before, I would say, but just a brief piece in and around story, right? It always involves some kind of gap space, not knowing, right? It's related to suspense, for instance, right? Number 7, I said this already, go slowly to go quickly. Let it go. Don't be in a rush. Trust that the magic happens. And also trust that the conversation will naturally turn toward you, right? And then some people go, but Michelle, how do I make it turn toward me? And so there's some pieces that we do today will help. And then also you can ask me that explicit question. I had one question posted from Karen, and so we're going to get there for sure today. And actually the way that I've designed the material today has your question in mind. So go ahead and ask a question. If I don't get the answer the first time, ask it again. All right, go ahead and keep asking. Ask from a different angle, and I want to make sure that by the end of the series, we get to all of your questions. All right, create connection. Listen, 2, uplift, 3. 1, create connection. 2, listen, 3, uplift, 4, sir. 5, the long game. 6, create the gap of curiosity. 7, go slowly to go quickly. So as you walk in, these are some things that you can actually do. And I wanted to give you, again, I'll give you the handout on it. All of this is resonant with what we've already done. It gives you another entry road in, as I said. So 8 networking do's and don'ts. And I want you to break all the rules. Don't think about these like rules. Go ahead and break all the rules. Sometimes you're going to be Miss Spirit. I'm being Miss Spirit right now. Hope you don't mind. I'm just like giving you all this stuff, right? So go ahead and break all these rules. Play with them. Try them out. I just want to give you an entry road into how we connect, how we persuade, how we use our words in effective ways in that close-in way, right? 8 networking do's and don'ts. Do. These should be really easy by now. Do be genuinely interested in their welfare. That person you're talking to. Think about what Grace did. She's just taking in the room and seeing what's there. That's an excellent step, and it's part of that. Be genuinely interested in their welfare. She's not like coming in like a wolf for the kill. Somehow people enter into networking situations, right? Be genuinely interested in their welfare. Do help the conversation around the table. If you're in a conversation with lots of people, for instance, or, you know, somewhere where there's more than one person. Can you help the conversation around the table? Maybe somebody's struggling with their words, and what other people do, they become misspewed and try to pounce in or whatever it is, right? Sometimes use fewer words, give spaces for people to enter in, find out what they care about. So be genuinely interested in their welfare. They're like kindergarten things, but we forget. We think the business world is different than that. It's not, right? Help the conversation around the table. 3, tell good stories. This is related to Karen's question. I'm going to talk about this more in a little bit, right? Tell good stories. I'll give you one principle about good stories. Does your story make one point? One point. Right now, for instance, I'm making a whole bunch of points, but they're all related to how do we network well? And why am I doing that? Because we want to start close in. Everything that we learn over here in networking is going to go and immediately applicable to all the other places, all right? So tell good stories. Does your story make one point? And I'll give you an example either today. Yvonne, are you okay if I give you another, like, thank you? So send me another text and say, give an example of a story making one point. Because if I don't get to today, I want to make sure that I get to it. Our next call will be, is it January 8th, I believe? It's the first Tuesday after New Year's. Not New Year's Day, right? So that'll be the next time we meet together in this capacity. I'll see you in the Mexico call for those who can make it on Thursday. So 1, be genuinely interested. 2, help the conversation. 3, tell good stories. Make one point. Is it connected with your listeners in some way? I'll do a training on this in just a little bit here. And that's why we need to be listening so much. I can't connect my story to my listeners if I don't know who they are. So Be genuinely interested. Help the conversation. Tell good stories. And the fourth one, I've already said this, have fun, play, experiment, break all these rules if you want to. All right. They're not rules. They're just guidelines to help you see that networking situation differently when you walk in the room. Different angles in to see that whole situation differently. Like Grace walking into the room, a very different way. Grace, how long have you been networking? Give us how many years you've been networking. Show us. Many years. All right. Many years is good enough for now. Right. So, and a change, seeing that room automatically, like very differently already, right? As you walk in, or Karen's like, this doesn't have to be yucky. It can be easy, right? And it can be fun and it can be all of me there. Some networking don'ts. Don't deliver long monologues where people have no way to enter in. You could say, I'm doing this right now, but I've got your surveys. I've heard your questions. I've got some training things to do. And it's also a different genre. I'm training right now. So, but in networking, don't deliver long monologues where there's no break. There's no pause. Again, Shavasana is important. If there's no pause in ourselves, we won't pause when we're networking. So don't deliver long monologues. Don't present a canned elevator pitch that you deliver the same way every time. These are different people. Can you feel their energy? It's going to be slightly differently worded, or you'll come in a different way because of who's in front of you. Don't, you know, I say this from the three keys about words that are persuasive. I suggest you don't carry business cards. I mean, you can if you want to, but how you use them then, right? I don't carry business cards at all, but don't carry business cards and hand them out to everybody. Here's one. That devalues who you are and what you do. Here. Remember I told that story about the guy from Peak Potentials, and he put all those in his back pocket and got rid of them. He said, Michelle, I'm keeping yours. Why did I keep mine, right? Because of all these principles that we've been learning. So instead, try getting them directly into your phone, for instance. Have a real conversation with a real person, right? So don't deliver long monologues. Don't present a canned elevator pitch. They should all be self-evident by now. And what we've learned, don't carry business cards, or if you do, don't hand them out to everybody willy-nilly. And don't get too caught up in getting it right. So just some guidelines to help you through. I've mentioned that multiple times because that would be the biggest mistake, to think, okay, well, here's the thing and I'm now supposed to be Miss whatever. No, just ways to play to make networking way more fun and way more effective. All right. One thing that you heard, I want to hear one aha. This should tie up any loose ends in around networking. I hope that when you go into that networking situation, it'll be a lot more fun, be a lot more relatable. You'll have much better things to say. It's still like, but Michelle, I don't know how to tell my offer. Well, we'll talk about sales next time, making offers. We'll start in on that as we're talking about speaking today, and we'll be responding to some of Karen's questions. So I know I haven't taught that part, but the funny thing is it doesn't even matter so much. When you're doing these things, people, that's why, you know, people were walking up to Sheila and three people wanted to know about who she was and what she does. And right. The other pieces matter less than people think. So let's hear one aha, one opening again, like Hiram Smith says, blinding flash of the obvious. Like, I already knew that, but now I know it in a different way. What have you heard that you can use? Cheryl, thanks.
To have fun.
Thank you for hearing that.
I can't hear it enough. And every time I hear it, I go, oh, yeah.
Right, I forgot that piece, right? That's exactly it. And it's the one ground rule in my community. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. So, you know, can I go in there? Can I be playful? Can I make mistakes? Can I say something that's really kind of wacky and see how people react? It's real. And it's, there's so much not realness out there with people spewing their pitches and so on that, you know, like when I've used that one example because it's so illustrative. When I go, Shelly, your name is Shelly, but it's so off the wall. It's actually attractive because people are so unreal, right? And then it starts a real conversation with real people. And then there's plenty of time as you get to know each other. And then maybe they need something in your area. And of course, you're going to start talking about it. If they got pain in your area, the conversation can naturally go that way. It's not rocket science. It's more fun than we've thought. Okay, beautiful. Let's hear one more aha, because there's one. It's like, have fun. Caroline. And then Sergio. Caroline, you just changed spots. Now she's down here. So Caroline, go. So if I'm looking funny, right? Because I just really want to see you.
Video instead of the unmute. sorry. Anyway.
No worries.
The big one for me today was the create the gap. I've heard you talk about it and about that person saying, I teach about love. I've heard that a lot of times during this, but I didn't get the principle of it before.
Yeah, good.
This, and I I my curiosity is really stimulated about how to do that.
Yes.
I definitely want more information about how to do that, because that's like, yes, I know that's what catches me with other people. And I want to learn how to do that better. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And you notice I haven't taught you everything about that. In a way, there's a I left, and if you don't hear this, worry about it, let it go. But there's a gap around the gap. Right. And you're curious and you want to lean in and you want more. Right? Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for hearing that. Sergio, you're up. And yeah, don't forget to unmute. Yeah.
Be genuinely interested.
Be genuinely interested. It's so funny. For this amazing heart-centered group, it's a thing that should be easy. But because we think we're supposed to be something, it ends up being hard. But it's not hard when you really care about people and care about their welfare, as I know every single person in this virtual room does. Genuinely interested. Sergio, like thinking about the strategy session that we were on, right? I mean, think of how many questions I asked you, right? Yep. It's a different scenario, and we'll talk about that that kind of speaking context next time. But I really was genuinely interested. Could you feel that, right? And it happens,
yes.
Right? I really want to know. Same in networking. Same in one-on-one conversations, speaking, all of those places. Be genuinely interested. Starts over there, networking. Thank you. So there's so much more than that, but I wanted to just hear a couple of ahas so I know that it's landing. And that's the same thing, because I'm genuinely interested and I care, and I want to know that this is landing for you. Fantastic. All right, anything burning to be said without which we can't move forward? That's different than it. I'm looking for ahas. Now I just want to know, is there something where you're so bursting with it that there won't be any space for the next thing? I'm creating a space just like in Shavasana. Marie, I thought there was something out there. I could just feel it. Like,
well, I now want you to do the series on creating the gap. I'm just going to say that.
Put it away. You want to do a whole series on creating the gap? Yeah, we could. We could, for sure. I mean, we go more deeply into that, you know, in Quantum Leaps, right? But I'll do some more. We will do some more about that on the next call. And Marie, will you text me that? Talk about the gap more deeply, specifically on the next call. And also remember, you can be posting your questions. So, and if I have five people asking me about the gap, I will spend more time on that too. So ask me your questions. Okay. And forgive me if I don't, if it doesn't, like sometimes I'm answering the question through the whole of the call and in the structure of the call. Sometimes I'll bring you up explicitly. Sometimes I've got notes and notes on Karen's question right in front of me here, making late into the night last night and early this morning. Right. All right, so yes, beautiful, thank you, the gap. So 7 principles of networking magic, 8 networking do's and don'ts. Remember to have fun, don't worry so much about getting it right. These are just some things you can keep in mind, make it so, so much easier and so much more fun. All right. So, new content for today. How do we move then from very close in, which is networking, just something that's a little further out? We're not moving all the way to writing copy, but you're going to find it's all directly translatable. Everything we did over here is what we got to do over there with the copy when we don't see that person in front of us. That's further out. We'll get to that, not the next call, but the call after that, all right? But I want to move from really close in networking, one-on-one, close in, to live speaking. So we're moving to a different genre and a different kind of speaking and word situation. And I was trying to decide whether I wanted to go to a sales conversation first, because, you know, start that one-on-one, or to speaking next. Okay, I got to know what that is. So you like, are notes being passed at the back of the classroom? Some of you are giggling, so will you let us into the class? Will you let us in on it? Marie.
Okay, I'll own up. Yvonne and I am chatting because we're laughing about who's getting the texting tags from you.
Oh, yeah, because I've asked you both to do stuff. Thank you so much for that. So, and for those who don't know, I mean, Marie and Yvonne, we've been working together for many, many years. Yvonne's in her 4th year with me, Marie in her 8th year with me. Right? So sometimes, you know, with longevity comes responsibility too, right? So I don't mind saying them. Please do this for me, all right? I've been to Mexico many times and so on, right? Not because I didn't get it the first time, but because there's like deeper and deeper layers of it, right? So thank you so much. All right.
I want you to notice what just happened here too, right? It's like real and live, and I see something happening. So to gather all the energy together again, I'm reacting to what's happening right here, right now, because it's a close-in situation. It's not networking one-on-one, but it's close-in, and then I can see and react, and not react, but respond to, so that we can all draw the threads together again, right? From networking to live speaking. Different genres, same principles. I'm moving a little further away. It's not one-on-one anymore. It's one-to-many. But those very same principles apply. Relationship, empathy, word skill, genre, they all apply. All right. I'm going to give you 10 principles from speaking from stage. Oh, who wants this one? Yvonne or Marie? Thank you, Yvonne. Marie, you'll take the next one. Yvonne, will you text me? Because that's another handout that I want Emily to make. And again, it's just the second time I've taught it in this forum. So we didn't even have these handouts last time, but I want you to have the visuals this time around. So 10 principles for speaking from stage. It's another handout that I want Emily to make. So speaking. I'm just pausing for a moment because I want to make sure that we're in a situation where you can, I want to make sure you can really hear this. So let me hear you what your questions are in and around speaking. And Karen, I know that this wasn't, let me think here. 1 second here. Okay. I just wanted to be, I'm going to change directions just for a minute. I want you to know what Karen's question was. She was saying, like, what are the words and stories I need to find my ideal client? So I'm just going to change directions for a minute. I'll come back to speaking. What are the words and stories for finding my ideal client? What's a story that will intrigue people to give me my work a try? And, you know, what's a story for finding my unique genius? So those are some of the questions that Karen was asking. And when I'm teaching, here's what I want to do. I want to frame it so that Karen can hear and go, like, how come you did not answer my question, Michelle, right? When I teach you these principles of speaking, I'm going to be answering a lot of these things in the context. Does that make sense, Karen? You're going to hear it, and then I'm going to take it further the next time, right? How I decided to talk to you about speaking is very connected with how you asked that question, right?
Michelle, may I throw this in?
Yeah.
This dovetails perfectly because of a network opportunity that started last month that I didn't even really realize was a network opportunity. On Thursday, I went back into this same place and I handed her a story about what I could do for her to help her bring more people into her area, which will help me because she's a horse person. I need new clients. So I gave her four ideas. I said, how about, you know, if you want, I could come in and speak about these four topics. So now I'm speaking every other month. So for a year. So there's my long term. So you going into speaking is perfect.
Beautiful. And also what I'm loving in hearing this is that in the way that I'm giving you this material, it's the best way that I know how to organize it for you so you can hear it. You will have the answers to the questions that you're asking too. It's like, well, how do I find the story to tell? I don't know. I got to listen and see what they need, right? For instance, and you're already doing that. So so all these principles are going to help us lead to that ideal client, lead to the stories that I should tell. And I'll be teaching some more specific content both this time and next time that will help us with that. So, and did you notice what I just did too? It's like, Karen's got this question. I see this the time. She's going like, hey, but you didn't answer my question. And Karen's not like this. She's like, I open and listening. I can see that, right? But there might be some little editor and her going like, why should I even bother asking a question? And, you know, Michelle's not addressing my question. So I'm over there answering that question and then bring it into the content. So I'm always, the thing that I'm saying depends directly on who's in front of me. Right? So because I want Karen's ear for this too. All right. So principles for speaking. I'm going to go through this fairly rapidly and then don't worry that after that you can just go away and play with them and think about them and connect with each other about them. And I know we don't have a forum where we all connect, but my community has a forum where you connect. Karen, I know that you guys know each other too, and you can connect. So you have ways that you can participate with each other to play with these principles. The first thing, so I'm going to run through this. It's going to just going to be a really quick training. Each one of these I've taught hours on. I'm going to give you these really quickly, right? But don't worry if you don't get all of it. We'll come back. We'll come in and around. You'll hear it easily, all right? Number one, begin with the end in mind. You got to reverse engineer. Where is it that you want to take them? And then you construct the words around that. So when I, some of you, for instance, I met because I speak a lot for eWomen Network. And if you saw me speaking at eWomen Network, that talk began with, I want them to want my free gift. And now to have an empowering story because it really changes things. And I want people to come and want to talk to me. Those are the two things I want. So the whole talk is designed around that. Now I know that I'm going to train and teach and I'm going to help and serve people, but the talk is designed around where I want them to be in the end, right? The second thing, persuasive principles. I spent at most university classes that I taught in around words and stories, I spent 2 hours teaching them this next principle that I'm going to teach you in 1 minute. Right? So just know there's more that I can teach about this than I can do right here, right now. And I call it Uncle Bob, right? Uncle Bob and audience and purpose. Here's this snapshot view of this. Again, at the university, I spent 2 hours and people go, oh, wow, great. But there's many other things I want to teach you here. Here's the 1 minute version. This story that I told at university, it's a deep story about audience and purpose. When we're trying to find who's our client and what should we, what's our offer, it's just a subset of audience and purpose. I'm trying to find who my ideal client is. It's somebody that I want to talk to. That's my audience. If I want to give them an offer, that's just my purpose at that moment. When I understand how audience and purpose works, I can find my offer and my ideal client and many, many other speaking situations. If you just got that, that's worth the whole series. If you missed it, listen to the recording again and I'll come back to it and you'll get it. All right. Because you have something so much more powerful than just the offer and the client. All right. So here's the story that I told at university, real brief version. And I taught that audience was a bunch of university students, but it's still a really instructive story. I like telling it here. There are a bunch of university students. So what they want is tuition and then they're broke. All right. So I tell them that they got to get tuition to become whatever they want to be, a chiropractor or doctor or whatever. How are you going to get that money how are you going to get that money? You have no access to money other than your rich Uncle Bob. Oh, by the way, he hates you. How are you going to get him to get you the money? It's a really good problem to think about to understand audience and purpose. Because one of the things I might want to do is go, Uncle Bob, please send me the money. I really want to be, this is what we usually do when we're, Miss Desperate to make a sale, for instance, right? Please send me the money because I really want to become a doctor because I'm going to change lives. And Uncle Bob doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. He hates you, remember? So what are you going to do? You're going to come up with 100 ideas and you're going to keep Uncle Bob in mind. What does he care about? The same principles I've been teaching you, right? Maybe he cares about Aunt Betty and what she thinks of him. They've been arguing. And Aunt Betty really admires doctors and people who support doctors. I don't know, in this silly example, right? I'm not going to come in and start talking to him about why I'm going to be the best doctor on the planet. He doesn't care. But you might start talking about, people who support doctors on the planet. A lot of people really look up to them, admire them. Maybe he's big ego. I'm not saying that you didn't do manipulative things or play to his ego. I'm saying what genuinely is the point Sergio is making, what really actually matters to him. I'm turning him into a stock character right now. Uncle Bob, he's rich and he hates you. But he's a real human being with needs and fears and desires. I'm going to think about 100 things that could persuade him. Then I'll pick the best 3, right? Who's my audience and what's my purpose? I've spent hours teaching about that. There's a complexity about that because I think my purpose is getting Uncle Bob to send me the money, but my purpose is more nuanced than that. It's just like, what are the words that he's going to hear? This is partly related to Karen's question. Okay. So 1, begin with the end in mind. 2, think about Uncle Bob. Who exactly is your audience and what's the purpose? 3, talk structure. And I just want to show you. A talk has, let me see, Marie. Will you remind me to have Emily have me post this? There's many resources I want you to have. This is my talk. I give this talk over and over and over again. All right. And I didn't do this. A woman named Deborah LeFranc did this while I was giving the talk in eWomen Victoria. And the talk was so clearly structured that she could pull out the main points easily. Up here is why they should even matter to me. Who is Michelle? What was my journey? I left university. My body was breaking. What does it take? I've been working in the field of words and stories for over 25 years. Here, I'm talking about me in ways that matter to them. I'm earning the right to speak to them. Okay? Then I'm making 3 points. And then I'm taking them somewhere. It's just, it's so simple, right? We overcomplexify things. It's like the old, what you learn in high school, 5-paragraph essay. Have a point that you want to make for them. Make 3 points that support that point, and then tell them what you told them and bring them to a new place. All right? So begin, number one, begin with the end in mind. Number two, audience and purpose. Number three, what's your talk structure? You got something you want to say. You have some points to support it, right? And then you take them somewhere. And again, I'll go a little bit further into this next time. So just like we finished off networking this time, we'll finish off speaking next time, but I want you to have at least the structure of it. So you can go away and play with it for Christmas or whenever you, or over the holidays, or, you know, however you want to do, or with your next talk. Number four, I want to give you something, a phrase you can remember, two phrases. Ho hum, so what? Taught this over and over again at the university, and usually get into this more in Mexico than other places in the community. Ho hum, so what? Ho hum. I want you to imagine that at the beginning your audience is bored. They're going like, yeah, whatever. Like the boys in the back row when I was at university, like, I have to take this class and I don't want to be here, right? How can you grab their attention? Well, how are you going to grab their attention? They're going like, oh, well, by something that matters to them. All those principles that we learned over there in networking, remember? What matters to them? What's their pain point, for instance, right? You can ask a couple of enrolling questions. How many of you ever feel like you're saying stuff, but nobody hears you? Raise your hand, right? That might be from my field, right? Because I've talked to people and I know that's one of the pain points, right? Ho hum, they're bored. At the end, ask the question, so what? It's kind of an in-your-face question, but so what? Why does it matter? Because if you don't ask the question, so what, they will. Yeah, well, that's nice. Words matter, but so what? I got a company to run and I got sales to make, and why should I care about my words, right? You should care about your words because you need words, for instance, to make an offer. If you don't make offers, you don't have a business. Right? So what? Why does it matter, right, in your field? So ask yourself those questions, the beginning and the end. One, begin with the end in mind. Two, audience and purpose. Three, the talk structure, real simple. Four, ho hum, so what? Five, single domino. I had not always thought of it this way, but it's just, I don't know, in the last 6 months that I've been using this language, and it really makes sense to me. It really lands. There's one belief. When you're giving a talk, there's one belief that when you knock this over, people will move forward. What is that in your field? Think about what the single domino is, not just in your field, for that talk. So if you listen to 3 secrets to choosing words that make you more influential, there's one domino there and it goes something like this. And I'd written it down and I'd thought about it. And I don't think I even ever say that anywhere. You can go listen to that call again, though, with that in mind, and you will hear it. But what's the one domino? And it's something like this in 3 secrets to choosing words that make you more influential. If you don't have a command of which words are more influential, your business will never grow. Do you get it? It's like, that's the implicit, like the belief that has to shift. When that belief shifts, people will step forward and do something. What's the single domino for your talk? So point number six, make a point and find details to support it. It's so simple that we miss it, right? So when I make that point, let me see. My talk says stories are everywhere. It has the same structure as Anatomy of an Empowering Story. You've read Anatomy of an Empowering Story. Stories are everywhere. They're empowering and disempowering stories, and you can choose. Stories are everywhere. Nobody cares at first until I can start to tell them why it matters. So stories are everywhere. I'll give them examples. I'll find details to support it. Like the story, you've probably heard me tell the story about Katie had a story in her head about aging. And until she could find out what that story was, She couldn't do what she wanted to do in the world. And then she met all of her year-long goals big goals by March 1st by finding that inner story. So stories are everywhere, right? So find a point, you know, find out what your point is, and then find some details to support it. Right? These are really basic things, but a lot of people miss them, right? Number 7, what's their top of mind problem? I might think that I want to say, Bob, you got to give me the money because I'm going to go to become a doctor, Uncle Bob. But his problem might be, I want to impress Aunt Betty. How am I going to do that? So you got to hook it up with their top of mind problem. Why does what you have solve what they need? You need some creative thinking around it. Number 8, keep it simple. Again, my storyboard, right? It was so simple she could easily outline it. She'd never heard my talk before. She didn't know me. 3 points, 1, 2, 3, right? Number 9, move them from pain to hope. What's their pain? Start with their pain. We're going to dig into that deeply when we move into sales conversations next time. You have to stay with people and with what hurts with them. And you've learned that in networking, whether it's about something about their computer that hurts or something in your area. Because we're training that in networking. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Maybe you have service. What's hurting you? How can I help? Right? Can't skim over the pain. And number 10, if you only remembered one of this and one of these things, I would remember this one. And I learned it from my teacher, Lisa Sasevich. But I also learned it from Sandra Yancey, and I learned it from Jeff Walker, and I learned it lots of places. But I like the language that Lisa uses about it because it really makes sense. You have to do this if you're going to take people to on a journey with you. And she calls it PSPS, problem, solution, problem, solution. People come with problem. My talk is called Stories That Sell. The problem is right in the title, right? I want to know how to tell stories because I want to sell stuff and I'm not selling stuff. So I really want to sell stuff. The solution, you got to know that stories are absolutely everywhere. It's not just this little story. This is the structure of my talk. Not just these little stories that we're telling here, a little story or the bio or whatever. You got to know that stories are everywhere and they're inside your head too. And if you don't straighten that out, the talk's not going to go anywhere. Now you got a remaining problem. I don't know what the stories are in your head and I don't know what your most empowering story is. I can't tell you. I can tell you some of the principles about it, but I can't tell you for you. Well, the solution, come and talk to me, and I'll do my best to help you with that. And you see the trajectory from problem to a bona fide solution to a real remaining problem to a solution, right? So I know I did that really rapid fire. It's only the second time I've taught this course, and you always end up teaching too much. This is what happens when you teach stuff. But I wanted to give you some principles. If you go into any one of these, it will change your talk. If you heard even one of these, it has the power to completely transform what happens to you on stage, right? Okay. I want to hear one thing that you heard, and then I want to make sure we get to Karen's questions and then some ahas, because we'll be able to hear answers to Karen's questions so much better once I've told you about the basic structure of talks. So what's one thing that you can immediately implement when you're going to, and speaking from stage could be you've got two people in your living room and they want to hear about your work. And so they're coming, like the question we had last time, right? That could be a 20-minute talk. It could be you're speaking in front of an audience of 500 people. It's applicable whether it's big or small. So what's one thing that you heard that you could go out and apply? Sergio, thank you.
Problem solution. You've got to listen to them, find out what their problem is, and offer a solution for them.
Yes, and thank you for connecting it with all the stuff that we've been doing about networking, right? If I haven't been listening and listening and listening to people and asking them questions and doing like the experiment that Karen did last time, and it's like, you know, and what do people, like, if I don't even know who they are and what their problems are, I can't even start to speak from stage. So I'm gathering data and gathering data as I'm speaking to people one-on-one and finding out what the problems are, and I'm training myself to listen for their real problems. That's where it's not manipulation too. I want to pretend that they have a problem in my area so I can sell them something. I don't know why people would do that, but people do that, right? I really want to sell them something. It's going to happen naturally if they really have pain in that area. And I'm so used to looking for how to serve people like Thomas Tadlock and like my Uncle Paul, even if it's not in my own area. And then when we move to sales conversations, it's the same thing. I'm just there serving people, serving people, serving people. What's the problem? What's the problem? How can I help? How can I help? And it makes the whole world a lot more fun too. Thank you for hearing that. Yes, yes, and yes. One more thing that you heard that you can immediately apply to a talk you're giving tomorrow. Cindy.
Sorry, couldn't find the mouse. The single domino.
Yes.
I like that.
It's really powerful and it takes an inward journey. What's that thing that when that belief shifts, they are going to take a step forward? What's that one thing? Yeah, it's extremely powerful. And you might not even ever say it explicitly, but if you go back now, you've heard my single domino, go back to that talk, you'll hear it there. Right? Really good. Okay. Karen's question.
Oh, Michelle, can I throw one more thing in?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'll tell you what, knowing that now I'm going to go speak four times for sure over the course of a year, talk structure, earning the right to speak to them without becoming Miss Spewitt is
yes.
going to be huge.
Yes.
I can do that. I can, as all of these horse ladies know, I can just talk all day long.
Right.
Talk about needing to create a gap. So that's going to be the talk structure. That was huge for me.
Yeah, good. And so earn the right. And those words are not my own. I learned that from Peak Potentials, but I like the way they phrased it. So I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Earn the right. You've got to earn the right to speak to them. And there's something that I learned from Lisa. I have many, many teachers. I'm going to tell you, and you know, there's something key that I learned from them. Amazing, worked with amazing teachers with Lisa. She talks about, I like her language, credibility and vulnerability. How can I create credibility? Like, what is it that, I've been in this field for over 25 years. You've heard me say those things. Vulnerability, what is it that makes you human? What is it that, you know, you're not perfect? What is it that is hard for you sometimes? I don't get all the words right, for instance. You know, what is it, right? And number 8 on my list, I see the question. So what was number 8 on my list? Keep it simple. Right? And I'll have Emily make this up so we can send it to you. So thank you. Yes, you got to earn the right to speak to them. It's really a gift to have that, have people pay attention to what, you know, to have people gathered to listen to you. So how can, I spent an entire summer thinking about that earn the right when I went to work at Wellspring, which is a place where people, for people on the cancer journey and those supporting them. Because I thought, what, and there was an editor I was working with, what do I have to say that these people don't already know? They're living with cancer. Some of them are, they've multiple rounds of chemo and radiation. They've some of them, you know, died in the course of my, and they were so strong in the course of my course. I went to their funerals, you know, like, so I had a, who do I think I am that I have something to teach them? And I had to do a lot of soul searching. These are real questions. No, wait, when they have their voice, like I call that course, the healing word. When they can find the words to say it, it can transform their lives. I had to find it inside myself. Got to earn the right, and you got to know it inside yourself first. All right. I'm not very good at ending at an hour and a half. Always, if you need to leave after an hour and a half, please go ahead. No offense taken. And then I'll stay to finish off. All right. So I want to make sure that I'm addressing Karen's question. And if you, last time I did practical applications, I had so many questions that were being posted that we ended up having one call that was all questions. All right. So don't be afraid to post questions. And I will do my best to get to all of them. And sometimes it's in the structure of things, right? So I want to just take a couple of minutes to address Karen's questions, but I've been addressing it through the whole way that I organize the material today. But I want to add another couple of key concepts. You okay if I add a couple key concepts just here at the end? You guys all right with that? Okay. You can take in some more? Okay. This is an example of going slowly to go quickly. I want to teach you 10 hours of material in 2 minutes. So I'm just going to give you highlights. Right? How am I going to find the words and stories to find my ideal client? The first thing I want you to know, find out what's inside the party. The inside versus outside the party. Find out what it is that you think you're offering. What is it that you get excited about when you watch a client and it's their life is transforming, like something in them has changed? Get it. I call it inside the party. It's in your language. It's in your language. And don't worry about the words. It's what is it that you think you offer, right? Not the 10 classes where there's 3 calls, et cetera, but what's the transformation you offer when you watch your clients and they light up? Like, what's the thing that you want them to get? Start with inside the party. then know what their language is and translate it. That's going to be decorating the door, right? You're going to translate it to their language. And that's all the things we've learned in about networking, about connection come into play here. Because I might want people to know that stories are everywhere. They're empowering, disempowering stories, and you can choose. That is what I actually want people to know. And it's what she wrote on my storyboard. But it's not how I attract people to this talk, because they don't think that they want that. They don't think that they need that. They don't have enough background yet to know that they will want this, right? So I've got to translate it into their language. So how do I decorate the door? And one of the things I should do is post for you my speaker sheet. But if you just go to michellegunderson.com, you can see it, right? The summary of what my talk is about. And in that summary, I'm going to translate it into the language that they can hear. And we can do some more work around that next time. Marie, will you just send me the word translation? Text me the word translation. Translating from inside to outside the party. We'll do more about that next time. And so translate that, what's inside the party. And then the third thing. So one, what's inside the party? Two, translate it to decorate the door. What's their language? Different talking to holistic practitioners versus my Uncle Jim, who's a Alberta beef farmer, right? And even your ideal clients, as you're talking to them, networking, they're different people. What matters to them? You hear some, like, sometimes I'm using animal or horse analogies. A number of you are, you know, work with horses. So sometimes I talk about that. It's going to land with you more than the beef would with my uncle, for instance, right? So even if I don't know very much about horses. Number three, what's their top of mind problem? What's their pain? How are they really hurting? And when I'm going out networking and talking to people about what's hurting them, both in my field and not, I'm training myself to listen for, you know, what matters to you and how can I help you? How can I help you? So I'm training myself all the time to listen for that. It just becomes natural to listen for that in my field as well. So that gives you a few places to start, Karen? All right. I could talk for another 10 hours on that, but that's the place I wanted to begin with. And let me see, we'll go back to Yvonne. Yvonne, will you also text me, elaborate on Karen's question, because there's more to it than that I'd like to share. But I wanted, and Yvonne, add the word transmutation. Because how we know what it is we're offering, and we're going to move into sales and offers next time. How it is we know what to offer has to do with the word transmutation. Some of you were on a private call yesterday, a small group call where I talked about this a little bit. So, but I'll do a training on that next time. It will help you get a better sense of what's inside the party for you. Okay? Just can't teach everything all at once. And when it goes sequentially, we have a very strong foundation for all that we're building. All right. One thing that you learned there. I'm doing a lot of straight on training here. Right? So one aha. That's one thing that you learned. So I know that it's landing somewhere. Yeah, Sergio.
What's their top of mind problem? What's their pain?
Yes. Yeah. And you can get at that through, you know, what are the questions people are always asking you? Or when you're working with your people, what do you need to do over and over again? Or, you know, lots of inroads into that, but you need to know that. And that's why you want to be real over there and networking again. So fantastic. Yes. Thank you. What are people actually concerned about? Cindy, one more aha.
What do I think I'm offering?
Thank you for hearing that. There's a whole another 2 hours training behind that one, right? So I think I'm offering, what I'm actually offering might be something completely different to you, right? Or what, you know, and it's my best shot at it. It's what I think is going on when I help people. And then I got to just work with people. We want that first sale in that area. Maybe you got a new program and you want that first sale so you can work with a real genuine person. And how do you make that offer? And we're going to go into that next time, right? So, and yes, I'm seeding, you know, with that, like, because I want you to come next time because I got more things to teach you, right? So I want to see you next time, right? So remember too, we've got a bonus call on Thursday, 12:30 Mountain Time, originally designed in-house for my people, the three keys to embodied words, be heard by those you're meant to serve. Some of it may overlap, but it's different from, it's very different from this material as well. It's a whole week's worth of material. We'll give you the top three things next time. So, or next Thursday for those who can make it. let's end this call as we always do. And if you need to leave now, again, thank you so much for being here. I hope to see you on Thursday. If not, I'll see you in the new year. Please keep posting the questions. Keep posting the questions. If there's so many, yes, thanks, Karen. So great to see you. Glad you loved it. So great. And we'll end with one aha, one inspired action for those who can stay a few minutes longer. So what's one thing that landed in you? And then one inspired action, and others can listen to it in the recording afterwards. Because when you can hear what others are hearing, there's some rapid fire training that's happening here, and it might not be the piece that you pulled out, and it might be the most important piece for you. So, and I'm giving you a why to listen to other people. Can you hear that? Right? So, Grace, we'll start with you. You're in my top left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired into action. An inspired action is something that's check-offable, so that you know you're bringing what we're doing here out into your real world. Grace, one aha, one inspired action. Just quick, okay. Quickly, one sentence.
One aha is to, when I think of my day client, what I offer, to think about when I light up and when they light up, what's happening and why, and that it will lead me to my a destination, one of many, I'm sure.
Yes, beautiful. Marie, will you please write the word Dave Albano, because there's another piece about how you find the ideal client I want to teach you next time. Thank you, Grace, you reminded me of that. And one inspired action.
Connect with Cheryl.
Awesome. Love it, love it, love it. And as you connect with, find ways to connect with each other and play with these teachings and find out what others are doing. And I know I don't have a place for you all together, but you have some people that you can connect with in this community, all right? So go ahead and do that. It's a great thing to do. Mary Kay.
Something about the, for the live speaking, you said talk structure, and yes. I'm going to apply that to my own outlook on life and what I'm doing, because I'm not sure how it'll fit, but there's something there that's going to fit.
My very first 3-day retreat that I taught many years ago, she said, these things you're teaching us, Michelle, I just realized they're not really just about the words. It's about our lives, isn't it? Thank you for that. Beautiful. All right. And your inspired action.
My inspired action is, there's a couple words I'm going to change on my sales page.
Thank you. Azra, we're going closing. Now I know what to do with the sales page. Exactly. And then we'll do it explicitly another time, but everything we're doing over here will apply to over there. Yes, yes, and yes. So great to hear that. Thank you. Karen, you're up. Karen Jones. Oh, right. The other Karen's gone. Karen.
Okay. Well, my biggest, I think truly my biggest aha just from this last bit is how to create credibility and vulnerability simultaneously, because those are polar opposites of each other, really. Mm-hmm. But I can see where that would, that's how people are, and that's how their pain problems, that's where you find their pain problems.
Yeah, yeah. Miss Spewitt and Miss Know-It-All are all in credibility. There's no vulnerability. Miss, I'm too vulnerable and hurt. So it's the problem is they've sectioned it off. Yes, right, beautiful. Right. And your inspired action.
Well, obviously it's now going to be a Zoom with Teresa as soon as this is over.
Love it. I love that you're connecting with each other. Fantastic. Thank you. Good, good, good. Marie, you're up.
My aha, I mean, there's many, but it's something about that transmutation piece, how knowing more about a person's pain is also about how I can support the process of transformation.
And I have not yet explained what transmutation is, so if you're worried about that, don't worry, we'll get there. But you can think of it as a translation of something that's difficult into something that's beautiful. But for now, that's good enough. And yes, Marie, so moving from that pain to that hope is, we'll dive in deep because of the sales and an offer depends on that. Beautiful, thank you. We'll dive in deep next time. And your inspired action.
Well, I have some documents to review for a friend today, so I'm gonna take all of this and apply it to what I'll be reviewing. Very
fantastic. Beautiful. Thank you. It applies everywhere where those words are. I don't want to just give you a little canned fill in the blank formula. It's like, oh, now I understand how words are generated, right? Beautiful. Thank you. Teresa, you're up next.
Okay, I'm live. All right. My what I have to really think about is what is the pain of my ideal client? Because currently my ideal client are writing instructors that already think they know it all. And I think that I have something that can help them. So I've got to look at how do I identify something that people don't even realize they're missing.
Right. So inside the party might be they think they know it all, and that's getting in their way. And so I want to change that. But then you're going to have to translate it because they won't think they want that. But it might be what they actually need. Yes. Beautiful. Great observation.
And inspired, we'll be talking with Karen Jones after.
Perfect.
That.
Thank you. Love it. Yvonne, you're up.
Earning the right to speak to them.
Yeah.
Was really, you know, something that I'm like, okay, yeah, you can't just, you know, do some verbal diarrhea and think that everybody is okay with that.
You spew it. Right? Mm-hmm. These personalities are so helpful to us. Yeah. Beautiful. And what's your action?
I'm going to listen to call number 2 because I haven't caught up on that one yet and download the networking personalities.
Yay. Perfect. Thank you. Simple, doable, check-offable, moves into the real world. Cindy, you're up. One aha, one inspired action.
Yeah, aha is the one that I mentioned earlier. It's what do I think I'm offering? And what do I get excited about seeing in my clients when they're having success? My action is going to be to actually sit down and write some of that down. And find out what it is. Make a list of the things that really do excite me to see in my clients.
Yes, because that's the what do I think I'm offering? What do I think I'm offering? Right. Mm-hmm. Both of those are important. Thank you. Beautiful. And Sherry, you're up.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's. That earn the right. What do I have to say to them given where they are and the transformation as a result of that?
Yeah. And the given where they are, again, that's that networking star close in. How do I know where they are? Right?
Yes.
And your inspired action.
I think my inspired action is to go through my notes from this call because there's so much here and then to go back and re-listen to the 3 secrets.
This is a very content-rich call. It's one of the reasons I was up very late last night. It's like, how can I teach you all this in this short a time? I'll do my best, right? Then just ask me some questions and I'll elaborate on the parts that you most need. So thank you. Yes, beautiful. Cheryl.
My aha is go slowly to go quickly in all areas, especially networking. And to my inspired action is to connect with Grace finally and to write out my talk structure because I think it'll help with my website.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will, because then we're starting to move further and further away. Absolutely, it will. Yes. Thank you. Beautiful. Laura, you're up.
Hey, from a bunch of different things that you said today, I'm just getting the real sense of any good story has the conflict and a resolution. Nobody wants to read a story that just they lived happily ever after. It's boring. But also all my students that come to me, their stories always start with something that they need to change that. The conflict's already there. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like I need to be more aware of that and intentional about thinking about how that story moves forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a piece of, Yvonne, who's the hero of the journey? Will you write me that too? Because like, who's even at the center of the story? Sometimes we mistake it. We think we're at the center. Like, I'm the one, I'm going to save you. And we don't need to do that. But, it's, you know, instead, it's like, they're the center of that journey.
Yeah.
Who's at the center? And can I hear what's going on in their story? Sometimes that's a more important story than the one that I'm trying to speak. Can I listen to the story? Beautiful. Yes. Thank you. Did you say your inspired action?
No, my inspired action, because I'm trying to start blogging, is to brainstorm some blog ideas that show the process of conflict to the resolution, because that's probably what's going to attract new clients, is whether it's my story or somebody else's, but showing that process.
Fantastic. We haven't even outlined all the pieces in your own story. We haven't even talked about blogging. You already know something about how to use words over there. That makes me so happy. Yes, yes, and yes. Thank you. Sergio.
What's the pain problem and what do I think I'm offering to solve that pain?
Mm-hmm.
Inspired action is to change my Facebook and LinkedIn profile.
Yes, right. Again, we haven't even talked about those, but it's all connected. You start close in, you'll know what to say over there too. Fantastic. Thank you. Erin, you're up. Yeah, you're so welcome. Erin.
My aha is the single domino point. About that one concise thing I can say to drive everyone forward. And so my inspired action is to work on what that single domino will be for the talk that I'm giving on the 2nd.
That's crucial. Fantastic. Yes, yes, and yes. And again, it might not even be something that's said explicitly, but the whole talk will say it. And it's so central, so important. Yes, thank you for hearing that. Caroline.
I have so many, but I think the main one is this, what I think I'm offering and what they're needing, the transmutation there. I took transmutation a little differently because I feel like I try to help writers go from tension to relaxation, but what they really are feeling is fear. And I don't language myself or towards their fear. And yeah, it's kind of still vague, but it's, yeah.
Something along the line. There is so important, right? I know that I'm taking them from tension to relaxation, but if I just say those words, they're not going to hear it. But that is what's inside the party. Then I have to find the words that I translate it to decorating the door. I translate it to something that they can hear so they can bring them along on the journey. You're on the cusp of something really, really important. Beautiful. Yes, yes. What's your inspired action?
Probably just to go back, like someone else said, to thinking about lessons that I've had and those moments where they're finding their joy and I'm finding my, you know, we're both having those aha moments and what was really happening in those moments.
Yeah, fantastic. And we'll pay attention there because we're paying attention to the small moments in networking because we're paying attention to the small movements of the breath and Shavasana. These things all work together.
Yeah.
Fantastic work, everybody. Did I miss anybody? Because sometimes that we were moving around on the screen and I want to make sure that everyone had their inspired action. And just like raise your hand or forever hold your peace. I think I got to everybody. And if I didn't, forgive me because sometimes I heard your voice earlier in the call and I think that it was then. And so fantastic work, everybody. We've been moving through some really, really crucial materials. And I love to hear how you're applying it in different places too, because that tells me that you're really getting the idea of how the words are generated and why they matter and the different contexts we use them in. So absolutely fantastic work. Thank you for staying late once again. I'm not very good at fitting it into an hour and a half. Always fine if you need to go at the hour and a half point or whenever you need to go. Have a fantastic have fantastic holidays if I don't see you on Thursday. I hope I'll see many, many of you on Thursday. Again, that call is Thursday at 12:30 Mountain Time. Translate to your own time zone. There should be information in your inbox soon, but it will be on this same Zoom link Thursday at 12:30. So if you show up, I'll be here to teach you those three keys to embodied words. So, and I don't even know what they are yet, because I've got 20 of them. I mean, choose the ones I think will make the biggest difference for you, all right? So have a fantastic week, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. I love you all so much. See you next time. Bye-bye for now.